And this afternoon, in his first press briefing, Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly defended President Trump's orders banning Syrian refugees from the U.S. indefinitely and banning travel from 7 Muslim-majority countries for 90 days without special visas. There has been criticism of the Trump administration for not consulting Congress or government experts, and Kelly was asked what he knew about the program before it was signed into law last Friday.
I did talk to a representative in the White House. Probably early in the week, about where it was going, how it was being developed. I'd commented that I'd seen some of the initial drafts. Pretty busy week. I didn't get involved in correcting grammar or reformatting the thing.
Also on Capitol Hill today, Democrats boycotted votes for 2 of President Trump's cabinet picks, Tom Price for a health secretary, Steve Mnuchin for Treasury Secretary. We'll get to that. But Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent, what do you make of what Secretary Kelly just said? Because people might ask, well, if you saw some of the drafts, couldn't you have predicted that there were people, you know, refugees, for instance, who were going to get caught up in this ban and it was going to be a mess?
The secretary says that he was familiar with it, that he knew about it. But I think we have to ask the old question of the definition of what it is. What exactly did he see? Did he know, as he suggested this morning, that there was going to be a ban, or that there was going to be something that some people might characterize as a ban, because even that word has now become controversial? Did he know that Donald Trump was going to do something like this? He said that he did, and he knew that like over a year ago, because Donald Trump had been talking about it as a candidate out on the stump. But did he actually know what the policy was going to consist of, when it was going to be rolled out, and how it was going to interrupt people who were literally in mid-flight over the Atlantic? That seems much less clear. So it is entirely possible that the secretary is describing a very real part of the reality of last week for him and right. What he saw and what he thought, but not necessarily telling us what we're exactly wanting to know.
The part of the elephant that he was touching. Well, there are several tiers to the president's orders. There is the 90-day ban on travel from Muslim-majority countries without special visas, a 120-day ban on refugees, and then an indefinite ban, limitless right now, on Syrian refugees. But today, officials said that 872 refugees would be admitted to the U.S. because of hardship concerns. As you said, they were either on a plane or about to get on a plane. We've been talking to people today who work with refugees from, say, Somalia, and they say, well, if they have to wait 120 days, then they lose their visa status, their special visa to come, and they have to go to the back of the line and start all over. Is the government reacting to that kind of an outcry? Syrian refugees still banned indefinitely, but a realization that there were hundreds that if they can't get in 120 days, they can't get in.
No question. The government is trying to ameliorate the impact of this order the way it was done on Friday and essentially go back and undo some of the damage done by the sheer haste with which this was put into place. So these people, we don't have a lot of information about how exactly they are getting around, what appears to have applied to them. We don't know exactly what characteristics they have. One, for example, might very well be that some of them include folks who had helped our military in Iraq or Afghanistan, and there were quite a few of our translators who had worked with our troops, risked their lives, risked their families' lives in doing so. And there was a great deal of pushback from the Department of Defense, from Secretary Mattis, about those people being excluded or included, on the other hand, in the ban.
Well, and these are some of the people who said that they were kind of thinking about this when they looked up and saw it on TV.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Because we did hear that there were some people who thought they were involved in a decision-making process, thought they were involved in something that was going to be brought out soon, and found out that, in fact, final language had already been put before the president and he had already signed it.
Well, today, House Speaker Paul Ryan defended the 3-month, again, the 90-day travel restrictions on people from those 7 countries. And mention what you just said. There were professionals with green cards, perfectly legal, detained, and at least one Iraqi translator. Let's listen.
No one wanted to see people with green cards or special immigrant visas like translators get caught up in all of this. And so I think there was, regrettably, the rollout was confusing. But on a go-forward basis, I'm confident that Secretary Kelly is going to make sure that this is done correctly, that they get a good review, and that we are going to make sure that we get this program up and running with the kind of vetting standards that we all want to see.
What's going on here, Ron? Do you suspect behind the scenes? I mean, you have people defending something they were cut out of. You have Donald Trump and Steve Bannon taking new positions. What kind of, you know, collision course might this be on?
Among other things that seems to have happened here is that some House Republican staff were used to help draft this order without the knowledge of their committee chairman, let alone, one assumes, of the speaker. I can imagine the committee chairman going straight to the speaker to object to that, complain about that for obvious reasons, many obvious reasons, and the speaker having nothing really to say other than, I will talk to the president about it, I will talk to the White House about it, and see if we can get that message through to them. The speaker is in a position where he's probably going to be using that go-forward basis phrase quite a lot. In other words, let's put aside what has already happened. Let's put aside what might have bruised our Capitol Hill ego or our sense of ourselves as actual decision makers and say, we're going to work this out. Our relations with the White House are going to be better, and we're going to be fully informed. We believe it, and let's go forward.
And the White House also has support from voters. I mean, the Rasmussen poll showed over half of respondents supporting the bans. Now, some call it a push poll, you know, pushing people in the direction of a certain answer. But he does have support on this.
The Rasmussen poll is a poll that's known for being Republican-friendly, but let's say that there is no question but that when you phrase the question the way John Kelly did today or the way it's been phrased by the White House, do you want to keep American lives safe? People are going to give you an affirmative answer. Do you want to go to some rather extreme lengths of vetting to make sure we're keeping American lives safe? Then people are going to say yes.
Yeah. And just quick, this boycott by Democrats on the Senate Finance Committee of the nominations of Tom Price for Health and Human Services Secretary, Steve Mnuchin for Treasury Secretary, they probably won't have an effect on the nominations. Does it make the Democrats appear like the Republicans who refused to consider President Obama's Supreme Court nominee?
There's a big difference between a delay of a matter of hours or a couple of days and refusing for an entire year to consider a Supreme Court nomination that was entirely legitimately made by the president while he was still president. But yes, Democrats are going to be criticized for any kind of foot dragging, for any kind of delay. And for example, we had expected at one point Jeff Sessions to be reported out of committee today in the Judiciary Committee. Now, because of lengthy speeches being given by the Democrats, most of them about the immigration ban, that is going to delay that vote in all likelihood till tomorrow.
Ron Elving, NPR Senior Washington Editor and Correspondent, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.